Springtime is a fun time, right? Time for planting, time for spending time in the garden, getting new life. It's the summertime when it's less fun. We actually have to pull the weeds and bend over lots, do all that kind of work. And picking raspberries was probably my least favorite one in the summertime. We love seeing new life, right? It takes a little bit of effort, it takes just a little bit of time, but we like seeing new life, seeing green things pop out of the dirt, start to grow. It's fun, it's exciting, and we can wear t-shirts. So that's nice. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Here we're seeing another aspect of new life. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." Life has to start somewhere, right? For a plant, this is where it starts. We put it in the dirt, we have to add some water and some sunshine, and then life begins. Where did our life begin? Our spiritual life, our real life, where does that begin? It has to begin at some point. In verse 6, he's saying, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. Thanks, Abe, for describing salvation and receiving Christ, trusting in him. That's where life began. That's where the seed hits the dirt and the water and the sunshine, everything mixes together and new life starts, new life happens. Paul also describes it a bit further in chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. He's talking about their new life. Just as you received Christ, he says in chapter 1, verse 3, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel." So these people, they heard the truth of the gospel. The gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. So their life in Jesus, their life started when they received Christ, when they heard the word of truth, this grace of Jesus, and when they received it, when they understood it and believed it. And this gospel is bearing fruit all over the world. It's not for nothing that we get together. It's not for nothing that Christ came to live and die and come to life on this earth. But it is bearing fruit. It is growing. A writer, Dan Meyer, he shared some stats, and it's pretty incredible, I thought. In 1900, Korea didn't have any Protestant churches, but today there's over 7,000 churches in one city in South Korea, in Seoul, South Korea. 7,000 churches. That's just over 100 years. The gospel is growing and bearing fruit. Even the most conservative estimates, they suggest that China will soon have more Christians than any other country. And that's a pretty big deal, considering where China has come from in their communist regime. Across the planet, he's saying that followers of Jesus are increasing by more than 80,000 a day. He's saying that about 80,000 people every day receive Jesus Christ. That new life, the seed in the ground and the life starting, more than 80,000 people a day. We don't know how people do statistics. Even if you cut that in half, 40,000 people. That's still incredible. Thousands of people every day are coming and finding new life in Jesus. They're finding the good news in Jesus Christ and receiving him. He describes the gospel a little bit more in verses 15 to 16 as well. Sometimes we say the word gospel, but we don't always reflect and think what it means. Verse 15 and 16 tells us that he, being Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. So this is basically just laying out the big foundation, the beginning here. Jesus is God. God made everything. That's basically what we need to know, right? He's in charge. He has the rights to everything in this world because he made it and it's for him. But verse 21 to 23 is where we find more of the grace in the gospel. So this God, once we were alienated from him, from God, and were enemies in our minds, in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So God creates everything. He's in charge, and yet we are his enemies. We've rebelled against him. Some other versions say that we've been hostile towards God. And so even while we were in sin, in hostility towards God, Christ Jesus came. And Jesus willingly went to the cross, and he bore the penalty that was ours so that he could reconcile us, so that we could be made right with God, get rid of that hostility between us and God, and bring us back together. In a nutshell, that's the gospel. That's the good news. This is the news that the people in the Colossian church had received. And he said, so just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, they had to take this message and do something with it, right? You can't just say, okay, yeah, I've heard that, good to go. They had to do something with the message, the gospel of Christ. And so what they did is they received it. They put their faith in Jesus. They put their trust in Jesus. And they said, okay, you are God. I'm going to live as though you are God. And that is true. And I'm going to put my faith in you. And that's when the new life started. That's when life starts, is when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. So once the seeds have sprouted, once they've grown an inch or two, is the work done? We're typically looking for a garden of more than just little sprouts, right? If we just forget it and don't water, don't pay any more attention, don't do any weeding, we just have a garden full of short little brown sprouts after a while, and that wouldn't be very beneficial. It's wasting our time, right? There's more to plant life than just getting out of the dirt. There's more to our life than just getting out of the dirt. There's a whole life ahead, the whole growth in Christ. Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him. The Bible has a word for this. The Bible uses the word disciples. We know of Jesus and his disciples, his followers. Disciple basically means to be a student, a learner. In Jesus' time, that was the word they used for apprentice, a disciple. So someone working at Dirksen Mechanical apprenticing, they're a disciple of plumbing, right? That's how the word was used. And so we as Christians, once we've received Christ, we're meant to become disciples, apprentices. But it's a little different than the trades, right? Because eventually in the trades, the apprentice becomes a master, and then he can go and do his own thing, right? Here, we are binding ourselves to Jesus. We're connecting ourselves to Jesus for life, knowing that we'll never become the master. He's always going to be the master, and we're always going to be the apprentice. And it's good. We have more and more to learn from him. We keep learning from him. It's like John chapter 15. Jesus, shortly before he went to the cross, in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 5, he says to his disciples, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It has to remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." And so if we want to keep growing, if we want to have a productive life, we need to stay rooted in Jesus Christ. We need to find our life in Jesus Christ. So how do you and I grow as disciples of Jesus? What do we do to grow? I think we can look at a few of the ways Jesus has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself through creation. He's revealed himself through the Bible, God's word to us. He's revealed himself through the church, his body, and through his Holy Spirit. So often I say, I want to hear your voice, God. I want to hear from you and I want to grow. Then I need to take time. I need to take time to make sure I'm actually sitting out in the sun, that I'm actually putting myself where I can get water and be filled. I know for me, some of those times have been getting out by myself for a couple hours. Hop on the quad and go somewhere and sit on the field or by the trees and just walk and talk with God and read scripture, spend some time with him. It's incredible how some of the fears or pressures that I've felt, or if I've been having conflict with someone, how some of those things kind of melt away, or we get perspective as we spend time with the Father. There's spending the time with the family. I think of some people when I was in Bible college. My pastor there, Jeff Gowdy, he took time for me a couple times a month, and we'd get together, and he discipled me. He mentored me, and he would ask me every time without fail, probably about 5 or 10 minutes, or even shorter, the conversation would turn back to the Lord, and he would ask, "So Jordan, how are you doing? How are you doing in your walk with Jesus?" Because he loved Jesus, and he wanted me to love Jesus. And so I could grow through other people as well. Spending time in God's word, spending time with God's family, spending time in retreat, kind of getting away from the normal. Thinking of, as a teenager, going to Bible camp or something like Abundant Springs, our youth retreats, just getting away from the busyness and distractions that we have all the time to root ourselves in Jesus, to let our roots go down deep. These are ways that we grow, right? We grow in Christ because our life needs to be in Christ. So one obvious question, after a plant has been growing and matures, what does the plant produce? Seeds, fruit, right? A productive plant, a mature plant, will produce seeds. These little guys are hopefully going to produce some more sunflower seeds. You can get some more plants out of it, right? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. If we keep growing in Christ, if we keep finding our life in Christ, our life should produce seed. We should be bearing fruit. I found it interesting, and during the Easter season, reading through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, reading through Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. In every account, when the disciples encountered Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, what happened? Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Mark chapter 16, verse 15, there Jesus met with them again. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Luke 24, verse 48, he says, "You are witnesses of these things." And later in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Luke wrote both the book of Luke and Acts. He records Jesus again saying, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Then we have John. Here he's talking to one of his disciples, to Peter. He says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." When we've encountered Christ, when we've encountered the living God, we have to respond somehow, right? When we've received him, when the seed has started growing, when we've put our roots down into him, it bears fruit. We go and make disciples. We feed his lambs. We are his witnesses. And so it's an amazing privilege. It's a responsibility that all of us have as well, to disciple others. The same way that we've been discipled in Jesus, the same way that we live in Jesus, to help others to see, to learn and experience life in Jesus. And so here's where I want to come back to Mother's Day. The privilege of discipling other people, that one's for all of us, but moms have a pretty unique opportunity to disciple. And that's worth celebrating for sure. How many of you have heard someone share in their baptism testimony, "My mom prayed for me," or "My mom led me to Jesus," or she was waiting for me to come"? So many of us have heard that. Moms have a huge opportunity to impact families and communities for Christ. Moms have a chance to be professors. I don't know if they want to be, but if I think of my Bible college courses in first year, theology 101. "Mommy, who's God? What's sin? What happens when we die, Mom?" Thinking of Old Testament survey courses. "Mom, can you read me my Bible stories before bed?" There's an amazing chance. Ethics and morality class. "But why can't I push him down the stairs, Mom? He was annoying me." We think of the life of Christ's. Why were they so angry at Jesus, Mom? Mothers have a chance to teach there again. Think of family life and finances as one of the first year courses we took. "Why can't I spend all my allowance on bubble gum? That would be really fun, Mom." Moms have an incredible opportunity for teaching, just in living, in life. And God intended for family to be the first place where we are introduced to Christ, where we're introduced to the gospel. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, here Moses says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely. Don't forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." So don't forget what you've learned. Don't forget the experiences you've had with Christ. And pass it on to your kids and to your grandkids. That definitely doesn't all feel glamorous, I'm sure. Waking up at 4 o'clock to feed the baby or to change diapers. Cleaning up the mountains of toys again. Or packing lunches again. Or giving rides. Or making food. But mind you, apparently in our video interview, all the guys thought that was the most important thing was the food, right? But even in these everyday aspects of life, if you've, as a mother, if you've received Jesus, if you're letting your roots go down deep into the soil of his love, if you are growing, then you have the opportunity to bear seed, to bear fruit, to disciple, to teach his children, to teach your children. And so we want to thank you. Thank you, moms, for being disciples of Jesus and for teaching us, teaching the rest of us about Christ. So where is your life at? Your life, my life, all of us. Have you met Jesus? What have you done with that? Have you said yes to him, or have you said no to him, or not yet Jesus? Are you sprouting? Is there new life that's happening? Are you growing in Jesus and letting your roots go down into him? Or are you putting your roots down into things that this world offers? What's actually going to hold us up when the wind comes and the storm comes? Is this world going to hold us up, or is Christ? Where are we putting our roots? Are we living in Christ and growing in him? Are we bearing fruit? Passing on what we've learned about Jesus to other people? Just living life with Jesus and letting other people know? And this is for all of us, mothers, fathers, from children right up to seniors. God has entrusted his gospel, this good news. He's entrusted it to people like me, people like you, with all of our faults and all of our fears. He's given it to us to pass on. So are we letting him use us to grow his family? Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. He is our life. Let's keep living in him, keep growing in him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your son. Thank you for giving us life and hope beyond this world. Lord Jesus, you are God. And you are so gracious to us. So I want to thank you this morning. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word in our hearts. Would you continue to fill us and transform us as your children, as your people? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.